أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله يا للصلاة يا للصلاة يا للصلاة يا للصلاة تتقم الصلاة تتقم الصلاة الله أكبر والله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
Savadur Sarmadija, please straighten the rows, fill in the gaps, turn off your mobile phones. Allahu Akbar. الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
Allahu Akbar. Sami' Allahu liman hamidah. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
InshaAllah, after the remaining dua, the lessons of hadith from Riyadh al-Salihin will take place. Brothers request to participate. InshaAllah, bakhiya dua ke baad darsa hadith hoga. Saath hi shirkat farmaye, inshaAllah, fayda hoga. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله وسلم على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا محمد خاتم النبيين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. وعن أبي عمرو ويقال أبو عبد الله ويقال أبو ليلى عثمان بن عفان رضي الله تعالى عنه وعن عبد الله بن الشخير رضي الله تعالى عنه بكسر الشين والخاء المشددة المعجمتين أنه قال أتيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو يقرأ ألهاكم التكاثر قال يقول ابن آدم مالي مالي وهل لك يا ابن آدم من مالك إلا ما أكلت فأفنيت أو لبست فأبليت أو تصدقت فأمضيت رواه مسلم. سيدنا عبد الله بن الشخير رضي الله تعالى عنه First, I'll do the translation in Urdu once, and then inshallah we'll explain in English, translate and explain in English. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Shakhir radiyallahu ta'ala anhu se riwayat hai, فرماتے ہیں کہ میں نے نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے پاس آیا تھا اس حال میں کہ رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم اس آیت کریمہ کو تلاوت فرما رہے تھے. الہاکم التکاثر, کہ تمہیں تکاثر نے مال اور دولت کی زیادہ مطلب جمع کرنے میں تمہیں مصروف رکھا ہے. تو اس آیت کو نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم تلاوت فرما رہے تھے. تو پھر رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا, یقول ابن آدم مالی مالی, ابن آدم کہتا ہے, آدم کا بیٹا ابن آدم انسان کہتا ہے, مالی مالی, میرا مال میرا مال. وَحَلَّكَ يَا ابْنَ آدَمَ مِنْ مَالِكَ, اور اے ابن آدم تیرا مال کیا ہے سوائے وہ چیز جو تُو نے کھایا ہے اور اس کو ختم کر دیا, یا تُو نے پہنا ہے اور اس کو پرانا کر لیا, یا تُو نے اللہ کے راستے میں خرچ کیا ہے اور تیرے لیے آخرت کے لیے آگے تُو نے بھیجا ہے. تو یہ تین چیزیں ہیں تیرے مال, اس کے علاوہ تیرے مال کوئی شے ہی نہیں. سیدنا عبداللہ بن شخیر رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ, he narrates that I came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whilst the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was reciting Al-Hakum al-Takathur. Surah Takathur, the entire surah is about an admonishment, a warning for those people whose entire mindset is just increasing wealth. Better, more beautiful, nicer, you know, these kind of things. Al-Hakum al-Takathur, the Takathur, to increase, to gather. This has kept you busy, this has kept you distracted. Hatta zurtumul maqabir, until you start visiting the graves. Meaning Allah Ta'ala is saying your life is going in a state that you are distracted and busy, occupied in just increasing wealth, money, a lifestyle which suits the kind of money that I have, or a lifestyle which is according to the increase in my money. And then all of a sudden you're visiting the graves. Visiting the graves meaning you're dead. And then كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ, straight after that it's just question and answer, question and answer, question and answer. What did you do in the dunya? What did you do with the wealth we gave you? What did you do with the life we gave you? What did you do with the health we gave you? We gave you children, what did you raise them to become? We gave you, you know, all these qualities, abilities, these talents that you had so much pride over in the world, you boasted over. What did you use with those abilities? What did you use those abilities for? It's just question, straight after that. And the life of this dunya, we don't stop and pause to think that, you know what, everything I am doing right now in this moment in time, Allah is going to ask me about, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything, every blessing, the way I'm using it, Allah is going to ask me about. The angels are writing it. Kiraman katibina ya'lamuna ma taf'alun. The two noble scribes who are with us, they know everything that you do. Subhanallah, in Surah Al-Qaf, we're reciting in Salat Al-Fajr today, Allah Ta'ala says that مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. Any word that you say in Arabic, in the Arabic language, a word is kalima. An utterance, utterance, anything that comes out of your mouth is lafz. That's why if you study Arabic grammar, where's Hamza? If you study Arabic grammar, you learn that lafz is an utterance. Jo zuban se nikalta hai, isko Arabic mein kehte hai lafz. Aur phir lafz ki do aqsam hai. Lafz has two types. A lafz which makes sense, which is called mawdu', and it's a word or a sentence. And a lafz which makes no sense, which is called muhmal. Just like ah or aw or u. Allah Ta'ala is saying in the Quran, مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. Any lafz that comes out of your mouth, any utterance, it doesn't even have to make sense, it doesn't even have to be a proper word, that's written down as well. Everything. Subhanallah, we are going to be scrutinized for every single action, word that we say, every action that we do, every intention that we had. Ajeeb. Not even the physical actions, but also in the heart. What was the intention behind you saying this? What was the intention behind you talking to this person? What was the intention behind you, I don't know, going to visit this person? You know, nowadays, subhanallah, Ramadan, iftar dawats and dawats, logon kilana. Brother Sajjad Sahib was showing me the other day these pictures. People feeding. Very good. It's amazing. But why do we feed people food in Ramadan? What's the virtue?
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, man fattara fihi sa'iman, whoever feeds a fasting person, gives them iftar, Allah ta'ala will give the feeder the reward of the fasting person, without any decrease coming to the reward of the fasting person himself. You'll get the entire reward. So if you feed, subhanAllah, 10 people, 15 people, 20 people, 100 people, you'll get the reward of all those people's fast of Ramadan. SubhanAllah. The Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, laysa kulluna nutiqu dhalik. Ya Rasulullah, we're not all able to do this. We don't have lots of food, biryani and shahi, kabuli pilau and patani, what else? We don't have all this stuff to feed people. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever gives a sip of water to a fasting person or a date to a fasting person to break their fast, they will get the reward of the person's fast. So this is the intention. So amazing, if a person has this intention and they're feeding, they don't even, you know, they don't want appreciation, they don't want you to say thank you, they don't want you to do anything back for them, they are just doing it for the sake of Allah, so that not only do they get their reward of fasting, but they get 100 people's, 200 people's, 300 people's reward of fasting. That's ajeeb, that's amazing. Allah Ta'ala make us from those people who can generously spend on other people. That's fine. But then our intention, unfortunately, we ask our women folk at home, why? Why are you feeding these people? If I don't do it, then these people are going to say I'm stingy. They're going to say, oh, this person, everybody else has given dawat, you haven't given dawat, you're a stingy person. Something. The intention is not even there. And all the, you know, many hours of our day is being spent, many hours of our week, our Ramadan is being spent on this feeding, gifting, Eid day will come, and then Eid day, feeding, gifting, all these kind of things. But the intention is all wrong. That's why in the hadith, what does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Man a'ata lillah wa mana'a lillah faqad istakmala al-iman. The hadith is longer. Man ahabba lillahi wa abghada lillahi wa a'ata lillahi wa mana'a lillahi faqad istakmala al-iman. That you have to program every action, every movement, every thought, everything that you do to be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you are a kamil, complete believer. Man ahabba lillah, whoever loves only for the sake of Allah. If I have PR muhabbat in my heart for anyone, that is only for the sake of Allah, not for any other reason. I love my parents, sake of Allah. Love my spouse, sake of Allah. Love my children, sake of Allah. Love my fellow Muslims, sake of Allah. Love my neighbors for the sake of Allah. Even the Muslims who are harming me, Muslims who are hurting me, I love them for the sake of Allah because they are Muslims. My muhabba is only for the sake of Allah, not because Jahangir Bhai is always giving me, you know, £5 note, £10 note, £50 note, so I love Jahangir Bhai. It has to be for the sake of Allah. وَمَنْ أَبْغَضَ لِلَّهِ. If you dislike someone, you only dislike them for the sake of Allah. Not because he hurt your pride, or he said something to you, or he harmed you. I only dislike them for the sake of Allah alone. Otherwise, somebody hurt me, harmed me, doesn't mean I'm going to hate them. They're a human being, they made a mistake, I've forgiven them, may Allah forgive them. وَأَعْطَى لِلَّهِ. Whenever they give someone anything, this is the point I was coming to, they only give it for the sake of Allah. And whenever they don't give someone, I'm not going to give Jahangir Bhai something. Inshallah, I will give Jahangir Bhai, but let's say, I'm not going to give somebody something. I don't give it only for the sake of Allah. The whole, my whole routine, my whole, you know, system is only, is Allah Ta'ala, does Allah Ta'ala want me to do this or not? Will Allah be happy if I do this or not? And that's when I make a decision. Then, فَقَدْ اسْتَكْمَلَ الْإِيمَانِ. This person has perfected their iman, completed their iman. So, ajeeb, you know, nowadays, intention, we have to keep talking about it. Intention, intention, intention. You're doing an amal, think about the intention. One of the pious predecessors, somebody came to me and said, look, somebody's passed away, it's his janazah, come for his janazah salah. He said, hold on a minute, wait. Okay, let's go. He said, what did you do? You just paused. He said, I had to fix my intention. What's my intention for going to this person's janazah salah? I don't want to rush into doing any amal where my mind is blank, I've got no intention. I have to have an intention, and the intention has to be something which will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and give me benefit in this dunya and in the akhirah. So this is the way they would do it. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying here, he was reciting this surah, Al-Hakum al-Takathur. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that, يَقُولُ ابْنُ آدَمْ مَالِي مَالِي. The son of Adam, he says, my money, my money. This is mine, this is mine, this is mine, this is mine. And then, وَحَلَّكَ يَا ابْنُ آدَمْ. O son of Adam, what is truly yours? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asking a question. What is truly yours from your wealth except that which you have eaten and you have wasted, afnaita, you have reduced it to nothing. أو لبستا, or you have worn on your body clothes, فأبليتا, and you have made them worn out by wearing them. أو تصدقتا, or something which you've given in charity, فأمضيتا, and you've sent it ahead for yourself in the hereafter. These are the only three things that are your money. Otherwise, it's just going to stay. The hadith is actually longer. Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi doesn't mention the entire hadith. He just takes out snippets from the hadith. The hadith goes on to say, the rest of your money is left for your children to compete with each other over when you leave the world. The rest of you can't say it's your wealth, because when you close your eyes, you're leaving it behind. You're not taking it. Food you've eaten is gone. You know you've used it. Clothing you've worn out. You know, even a house that you build, it's my house, my house, my house, as long as I live in it. As soon as I go, the house is still there. The house is still in its place. I've not taken it with me. Doesn't matter how many years of my life I gave for this house. Doesn't matter how many thousands of pounds I spent on that house. It's still there. Somebody else now is going to be... It's possible that that wealth of mine can be taken and misused. If somebody sells that, it's made into a casino. Somebody sells that, it's made into a pub. Allah protect. These things can happen. It's not mine. As soon as I leave the dunya, it's not mine anymore. Everything else, clothes I've worn out, finished, gone. Food I've eaten is finished, it's gone. And money which I have sent ahead for myself, charity. So the hadith is emphasizing that, look, don't create an attachment with shiny coins, bank balance. Don't create attachment with these things. As long as you're alive, okay, you can do something with it. As soon as you die, this meant nothing. Rather, you're going to have to give hisab for it, accountable. Why did you save up all this money? What was your plan? I wanted to buy a nice house, I wanted to go on holidays, I wanted to do this. I was saving this up because I wanted to go for Hajj, subhanAllah. I hadn't had the opportunity to go for Hajj yet, and I was saving up to go for Hajj. All those pennies, pounds, hundreds of pounds, I can give a good hisab in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, I had a saving, and it was for my own deen, or for my children's deen. I was saving up so my children could go to madrasa. Madrasa fees are expensive now. You know, I was saving up so my children could go to Islamic boarding schools, Islamic madrasas. I was saving up because my children would go into education, university, this and that, and I didn't want them to get haram tuition loans, which they have to pay back with interest. So I was saving up so that they can avoid that, so they could avoid that. All of these are noble intentions behind which a person can, you know, inshallah, have something to say to Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. وعن عبد الله بن مغفل رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رجل للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يا رسول الله والله إني لأحبك فقال انظر ماذا تقول قال والله إني لأحبك ثلاث مرات فقال إن كنت تحبني فأعد للفقر تجفافا فإن الفقر أسرع إلى من يحبني من السيل إلى منتهاه رواه الترمذي وقال حديث حسن. هر لفظ کا ترجمہ اردو میں تھوڑا مشکل ہو جائے گا میرے لیے لیکن پھر بھی انشاءاللہ کوشش کروں گا. سیدنا عبداللہ بن مغفل رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ روایت فرماتے ہیں کہ ایک شخص آیا رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے پاس اور رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سے کہا کہ یا رسول اللہ واللہ میں اللہ تعالیٰ کی قسم لے کر کہتا ہوں کہ میں آپ سے محبت کرتا ہوں. تو رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے اس کو جواب دیا کہ انظر ماذا تقول, تم کیا کہہ رہے ہو, اچھی طرح جان کو کیا کہہ رہے ہو, اس کو اچھی طرح سوچ سمجھ کے کہو. پھر اس شخص نے دوبارہ فرمایا واللہ انی لأحبک, اللہ کی قسم میں آپ سے محبت رکھتا ہوں. تین دفعہ فرمایا یہ جملہ. پھر رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا ان کنت تحبنی, اگر تم مجھ سے محبت کرتے ہو رکھتے ہو, فاعد للفقر تجفافا, تو فقر کے لیے, فاقہ کے لیے تمہارا تجفاف. تجفاف کہتے ہیں جب پرانے زمانے میں لوگ جنگ میں جاتے تھے تو ایک ہوتا ہے نا اپنے مطلب حفاظت کے لیے, جو انگلش میں کہتے ہیں آمہ پہنتے تھے, اس کو کیا کہتے ہیں اردو میں, مطلب جی زرا, ہاں زرا, جزاک اللہ, یو نو کوٹ آف آمہ, زرا پہنتے تھے. بعض دفعہ اپنے گورے کو بھی پہناتے تھے تاکہ گورا بھی جو ہے محفوظ رہے. تو اس کو کہتے تجفاف. تو رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم فرما رہے ہیں کہ اگر تم مجھ سے واقعی محبت رکھتے ہو تو فقر اور فاقے کے لیے اپنا تجفاف پہن لو کہ فقر و فاقہ آ جائے گا تم پر. چونکہ فقر اور فاقہ اس شخص پر جو مجھ سے محبت رکھتا ہے اتنا جلدی آتا ہے اس پر جتنا جلدی جو ہے پانی وادی کے اوپر سے نیچے تک جاتا ہے. اتنا جلدی فقر و فاقہ شخص کے اوپر آ جاتے ہیں. چونکہ اس نے دعویٰ کیا ہے, نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سے محبت, اور نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی پوری زندگی اسی میں گزرا ke jo hai duniya bilkul koi shay hi nahi hai. So Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mughaffal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates that a person came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he said, O Messenger of Allah, I swear by Allah, wallahi inni la uhibbuka. I swear by Allah, I love you. Now, such a claim, right? So, with such confidence. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Unzur madha taqul. You know, take stock of what you're saying. Think about what you're saying. The Sahabi, once again, he responded, he said, Wallahi inni la uhibbuk. I swear by Allah, I love you. Wallahi inni la uhibbuk. I swear by Allah, I love you. Wallahi inni la uhibbuk. I swear by Allah, I love you. Three times he said this. Just to prove his point. Ya Rasulullah, indeed. And the Sahaba, we can imagine, they would give their lives for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It wasn't that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was doubting him, that he made him ask this. I don't believe you. Na'udhu billah. It wasn't that he was doubting him, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was preparing him for what he was about to say next to him. I know you love me. Just affirm your love for me. So he affirmed it again, second time, third time, fourth time. And once that affirmation is done, and that's, you know, it's clear cut that this sahabi truly loves Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam so much, what does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam say to him? He gave him a piece of advice, golden piece of advice, which we all need to take into consideration, that when we claim to love Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him that if you truly love me, then prepare your coat of armor for poverty. This word tijfaf is mentioned in the hadith. The ulama say tijfaf is either the coat of armor that a person wears on the battlefield, or the coat of armor that you make your horse wear so that your horse is not, you know, wounded or something on the battlefield. So wear your tijfaf, because poverty will come so quickly to the one who loves me, the way that a sail is like a heavy flood of water. The way that a flood of water goes from the upper part of the ground to a lower part of the ground, the way it just gushes down so quickly, without, and nothing can stop it, this is the way poverty will come to you. So get ready for it. So a few things the ulama explained from this hadith. They say that, look, if you are truthful in your claim, then remember Allah Ta'ala's tests are going to come upon you. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not let His beloved servants become tainted with the filth of the dunya. Allah Ta'ala does not allow them. Because the dunya in the sight of Allah is filthy, is impure, it has no value. So Allah Ta'ala doesn't allow it to totally overtake them. Use it for necessity, that's fine. Well, you know, totally becoming a worldly person, dunya dar. Allah Ta'ala doesn't allow His beloved servants to become that. It's something filthy. For your beloved people, you want the best. So Allah Ta'ala, for His beloved servants, He wants the best. And the best means that in this dunya, little bit of struggle. And in the akhirah, best for eternity. A person will regret even a second that they spent in the dunya where they did not take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I wish I just said subhanallah one more time. I wish I just made this dua. I wish I just spent my time in good things so that my jannah would be so much better. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, prepare for poverty. And again, this is, you know, subhanallah. Love means that you strive to copy and emulate that person, that being, to the best of your ability. You want to be like them. There were many scholars, subhanallah, that they would fall in love with their ustaz, their sheikhs, their teachers, and you'd see they would be like a carbon copy of that sheikh. My sheikh wears this topi, so I'm going to wear that topi. I don't care if it looks strange. My sheikh wears this particular jacket. MashaAllah, you see some people, even in the locality, who, you know, have this connection with certain sheikhs, certain pious person, they dress like them, they look like them. It's a sign of muhabba, it's a sign of love through which the blessings and the benefit can be taken. So someone who claims to love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, does he not look at the sunnah and the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How did my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam live his life? With such simplicity. The next hadith is going to indicate, well, not next hadith, it's going to come a bit later. I'll quickly mention it because it ties in. Have we done it before? This hadith. وعن عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه قال نام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على حصير فقام وقد أثر في جنبه قلنا يا رسول الله لو اتخذنا لك وطاء فقال ما لي وللدنيا ما أنا في الدنيا إلا كراكب استظل تحت شجرة ثم راح وتركها رواه الترمذي وقال حديث حسن صحيح. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, you know, I read this hadith, I think to myself, I'm barely reaching the age of 30. I look at brothers who have reached the age of 40, reached the age of 50. I think you're so much better position than I am in. Allah knows, you know, by the time you reach 40, 50, by the time you reach 60, the tests, the trials in life, financial pressures in life, children growing up, all the pressures that come with that, increase of house, increase of... Only Allah knows, can we say the same things that we're saying today, have yaqeen in those same things. So we make dua. You know, that Allah Ta'ala protect us, preserve our iman. Allah Ta'ala give us the ability, everything that we're reading and listening to, Allah Ta'ala give us the ability to bring it into our lives. So we can be successful in this akh, in this dunya and the hereafter. The hadith mentions Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was lying down upon hasir. Hasir is a straw mat. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was sleeping on a straw mat. Imagine, who sleeps on a straw mat? Even in Pakistan and India, Bangladesh, they don't sleep on straw mat. You go over there, mashallah, they have even more comfortable bedding than we do in this country. They don't sleep on straw mats. Rasulullah was sleeping on a straw mat on the floor. فَقَامَ, and then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam stood up. وَقَدْ أَثَّرَ فِي جَنْبِهِ, and the effect of the straw mat had left marks on the back of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It's not going to be comfortable, is it? It's going to be uncomfortable. The marks are left on your back. قُلْنَا, we said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهُ, O Messenger of Allah, لَوِتَّخَذْنَا لَكَ وِطَاءً. يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهُ, if only you gave us permission to prepare wita for you. Wita means a comfortable mattress. If only you gave us permission to prepare a comfortable bedding for you, comfortable mattress for you. It's not much to ask. In this, we wouldn't even think twice about it. I need to get a good night's sleep. Normal, I would say. I need to get a good night's sleep. So the Sahaba are saying something absolutely fine. This is not something haram. This is not something bad. It's not something makruh. Nothing. It's just, it will help you, Ya Rasulullah, if instead of a straw mat, you lay down on a mattress, which would not cause this inconvenience and harm to your back. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, straight away, they're offering Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comfort of the dunya, comfort of the dunya, and he's saying, I don't want comfort of the dunya. I'd rather have hardship of the dunya. My comfort is for the akhirah. SubhanAllah, we need to think about this. What kind of comfort is this? They're not saying, Ya Rasulullah, let us get you a queen-size bed. They're not saying, Ya Rasulullah, let us get you some very thick mattress with all the layers that we have. Even my own mattress has this layer and this layer. I don't even know what the layers are. They're not offering Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that much comfort. They're saying, Ya Rasulullah, just something so you can lie on the floor and there's no marks left on your back. We don't like the way it looks. You're Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our hearts break when we look at you and we see the effect of this straw mat leaving prints on your back. Now we are your sahaba, we are here to serve you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Mali walid dunya. I have no connection with the dunya. This is not even dunya, this is just a bit of rahat. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, what connection do I have with the dunya? I don't have any connection with the dunya. Why are you people throwing the dunya in front of me? Ajib, dunya, just a mattress. What connection do I have with the dunya? مَا أَنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا كَرَاكِبٍ. My state position in this dunya is like a rakib, is like a traveler. إِسْتَظَلَّ تَحْتَ شَجَرَةٍ. He takes shade under a tree, ثُمَّ رَاحَ وَتَرَكَهَا. And then he continues his journey and he leaves the tree behind. This dunya in my eyes is like a tree under which I'm taking shade. Why are you doing all these extra things? I don't need them. Are we understanding the point here? They're not saying, Ya Rasulullah, we're going to order this amazing bed for you, or we're going to really do lots of work. They're saying, Ya Rasulullah, we just don't like you sleeping on a straw mat. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I don't care that I'm in discomfort in this dunya, as long as I get the best of the comfort of the akhirah, because that's my destination. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give myself, all of us, the ability to follow the guidance of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah ta'ala give us the reality of the dunya, that it doesn't become a delusion to us, it doesn't cover our eyes, it doesn't cover our mind. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu used to say, he would cry. And when he would remember the dunya and the effect of dunya, he would cry and he would say, غُلِّي غَيْرِي, go and deceive somebody else, leave me alone. بَتَّتُكِ ثَلَاثًا لَا رَجْعَةَ فِي. I have given you three talaqs to the dunya. He's talking to the dunya. He's saying, I've given you three talaqs. There is no raj'a after this. You can't come back to me after this. You know, after you give three talaqs, you can't go back. I've given you three talaqs. You can't come back after this. Go and deceive somebody else. Leave me alone. just talking to himself, talking to the dunya, just to create that awareness that every day, because look, once you become heedless, negligent, when you don't read these hadith, when you don't ponder about these things, you don't ponder about the qabr, the death, you know, the graveyard, the akhirah, then it's very easy to become tied into it, very easy to fall into, I need this better, I need this nicer, comfort, luxury, enjoyment. Only a person can snap out of this whose mind is focused on the akhirah, who reminds himself and herself with the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the Quran, with the promises of Jannah and what Allah Ta'ala has prepared for us in Jannah, with the stories of the Sahaba and how they left nothing in this dunya. They wiped their hands of it so that Allah Ta'ala could give them the full reward in the akhirah. And all of those generations, centuries of pious scholars and pious saints of Allah Ta'ala who came after the Sahaba, who followed the guidance of the Sahaba, who also divorced the dunya, who you'd go to with expensive gifts and they say, why are you bringing it to me? Go give it to somebody else. I don't want this, I don't want this, I don't want this, I don't want this. Leave me alone. Let me worship my Allah till my death, because Allah Ta'ala has created me in this dunya as a preparation for the akhirah. That's my true destination. People of Philistine, subhanAllah, prime example. They have got, you know, if we were deprived of our mattress or deprived of the food, we'd probably have mental breakdown. We have mental breakdown over nothing. Not to undermine mental illnesses, this is a real thing, and I do, a lot of people sitting here, but we have mental breakdown over nothing. Somebody took some comfort of mine away. You take a mobile phone away from a teenager, they will have a mental breakdown. Mental breakdown over nothing. I don't want to say nothing again, sorry, maybe I'm using my words a bit too thin, loosely. But very easily we start feeling, oh, what's the point of living in this world? I don't have this anymore. What's the point of life if I can't do this? What's the point of life if I can't do this? Look at the way they're surviving. SubhanAllah, you read and you think, ajeeb, these are Allah Ta'ala's chosen people. Allah Ta'ala gives us tawfiq to practice upon these few words. SubhanAllah, bihamdihi. SubhanAllah, bihamdihi.